Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Storybreak, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals, and sometimes four, have an hour to turn a simple idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I'm Freddie. I screwed up on the recording, so we're doing this first part again.
I'm King Will, Lord of the Screenwriters. I'm very happy because the first time we did this, I couldn't come up with a joke.
Now everyone will think you're funny.
I'm Matt Arnold. I'm the opposite of Will. I have nothing to say now where I was really funny the first time. So sorry you all missed it.
And we're joined today by a special guest.
Hello, my name is Ashley Birch. I won't make Will read my Wikipedia out loud. I will dig deep and say things that I've done in my life. I'm a voice actor, a writer, and I've known how long have I known you guys now?
42 years.
Many lifetimes.
I don't know. Four or five years.
Yeah. But also, we should note the only one in the room who's won an Emmy and's been nominated for a BAFTA. So, like, accolades all around. Oh, real shit. Where do you guys keep the Emmy?
In our guest bathroom.
The best place to keep
it.
Fuck
yeah. That's dope.
So you have to look at my accomplishment as you should.
That's great.
Stare into my Emmy's eyes as you should.
What are we doing this week?
This week we are going to try to break the story of Kirby, of which we all know next to nothing about, right?
Well, we gave you options. We said we could do Donkey Kong. Now people are just going to tweet about what we should have done.
Especially when
we don't
film.
No, we're doing this.
Oh,
we
God
were going to do
it.
Donkey Kong, Splatoon, Kirby, or Ski Free.
Or Easy Bake Oven.
And you were like, instantly.
Well, we
didn't
talk about Easy Bake Oven.
Oh. Well, why are you throwing that? Are you?
Well,
are
she
you
put it in the email.
I put it in
oh,
the
you
email.
Did?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't read your email.
We're doing Kirby.
And you said, you were like, Kirby, I'm a Kirby master. I know everything
I
about Kirby.
I did not say literally any of those things. I said I played one Kirby game. It's Kirby Superstar.
Which one was that one?
Kirby Superstar is the one with all the little different like sections in it. So there's like the Meta Knight one.
I haven't played any of them, so you're just explaining what Kirby is.
I've played Kirby. It's one of the few games that actually my wife likes to play, and we play them. Like, I've played most of the Kirby games. I did not realize there's lore. Until I was reading the reviews of the new game, and people were like, dude, this game totally mixes up the lore of Kirby. I was like, and everybody had spoilers. The entire Reddit was spoilers. I was like, I didn't know there were spoilers for Kirby. So there is a lore.
Spoiler, he's adorable.
None of us know about it, but Will found a 1-minute video that explains supposedly the entire lore of Kirby. So we're going to take
a quick break and watch it. Before we do, I do want to just explain for people who maybe are not familiar with Kirby. Like, I always do the, like, my mom test, because my mom listens to this podcast when I tell her it's okay to listen to it. On the episodes when I don't do cusses or say lewd things, I tell my mom to listen.
We talk about your sexual experiences.
I hate you, Matt. So, Mom, I'll just explain it to my mom. Mom, Kirby is like this cute, fluffy, pink ball that floats around like in a little sort of, he's like a fluffy Mario, basically. Think about the game like that. Mm-hmm. And in the game, he like gobbles up bad guys and like can get their powers. And then he goes through these magical levels and recruits them to be his friends. And then he fights a big penguin with a hammer at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to figure out what all the super intense lore of the Kirby universe is. And once we've done that, we will dive in and start the clock and start breaking this story wide open.
Let's take a look. All right, we've binged on the lore. The clock begins now.
Okay.
I give up. too much lore.
You remember in The Matrix when they just like slammed the needle into the back of your head? I feel like that, but for Kirby lore.
I didn't know it was possible, but I feel like I understand Kirby less.
I feel like the problem is that we're like, okay, we're going to make the first movie, and we watched all 20 games compressed into 3 minutes.
There's an amazing video called Kirby Entire Storyline of All Games in 3 Minutes, parentheses, Kirby Animated Story, that we will link to in the description or something so you guys can check it out. Can I jump
in?
I feel like the Kirby lore is dope as hell. Like, he is this strange, mysterious warrior who comes to a place called Dreamland, full of cartoon creatures and stuff like that. But then, like, he's just every game, he's just battling like weird cosmic horror, like, you know, demons and stuff like that. Like, there's like, nightmare creatures and people from mirror universes. It's like Thor, basically. It's like
basically it's Thor. Like
Disney meets. I mean, I was gonna say Disney meets Thor. I guess Disney already met Thor, but
yeah, he's like a little alien warrior that defends a land that's not his own.
And yeah. we don't know the origin of Kirby because he looks exactly basically like the Dreamland inhabitants. Yeah.
It'd be like if an alien came to us and had like a bump on the head or something. Like that's it.
So we don't know where he came from.
Yeah, he's a mysterious outlander.
I don't quite I definitely did not get his Meta Knight. Which is
I thought he was a bad guy.
So I think the easiest thing to do with that is like Meta Knight is definitely your like your post credits, like this is clearly a Marvel like multi series. It's like Meta Knight shows up, everybody goes nuts.
To me,
it's clearly the true story is DDD and Kirby because I didn't realize him and DDD were bros, but they like start off not as bros and they become bros.
Yeah.
So I actually thought the very beginning where you do the story because I like the it's very like Ocarina of Time where Kirby thinks that DDD is the bad guy, and actually DDD is just a good guy also, but they don't know that, and then they end up fighting the real bad guy together.
Right.
And I actually felt like the beginning is DDD. They show that DDD started just by eating all the food, which I like that as like a very sweet like if this was like your James Bond teaser, it's like Kirby's first mission is just to stop this glutton from eating everybody's food. Mm-hmm. So you establish like DDD's this big jerk and Kirby's this big hero, and you've established like the two. Kirby's the big hero, everybody loves. DDD's the big misunderstood like fatso who just like wants food and friends. And then this adventure this adventure makes them understand each other with the actual bad guy is like how I got from the first like 30 seconds.
Right. That seems accurate, right? That like the first game is the DDD's the bad guy, and then the second one they make it more of like a team up.
Yeah, there's like a guy who's stealing dreams, very like
Well, DDD is set up as the bad guy in the second one.
He's Ice King-esque.
Yeah.
Okay.
From Adventure Time, I feel.
So, yeah, I believe that's... I'm trying to figure out which game goes with which story we heard. But there's Kirby's Dream Land. So I think we are talking about the plot of Kirby's Dream Land 2 is the one
with the one
where,
with Nightmare?
Yeah, where he goes, okay, so Kirby's Dream Land 2 is this evil minion, this evil monster called Nightmare comes to Dream Land and poisons the dream fountain, which is what gives people dreams, and now it's giving them bad dreams. So King DDD, unbeknownst, a true patriot, unbeknownst to Kirby, who Kirby already has baggage with, goes to steal the Star Rod, which has been cursed so that people will stop having nightmares. Mm-hmm. But then Kirby, just like up to his old prejudice bullshit against King DDD, is like, King DDD fucking stole that thing. I got to go get it back from him. He gets the Star Rod back, puts it in the dream fountain, and then unleashes like a nightmare. The nightmare creature all over again, and then he and DDD have to team up.
I'm fascinated by King DDD. I think he's an incredible character.
Really? Why is that, Matt?
Because, okay, if I explained, I was like, okay, this guy steals all the food, and then this little hero comes and stops him, and then there's a nightmare creature, and this guy steals the rod to stop nightmares from happening. You'd be like, okay, like, who is that? If I said the word king in front of that guy, you'd be like, what? Like, he's the king, though. He doesn't feel like he's the king. Like, where's his kingdom? Why is he this lonely loser? Like, why is he so impotent and not powerful? Like, what is he doing? So I'm reading, and also on the Wikipedia, they're like, his moral character has been debated by video game critics. This is courtesy of his goals being driven by greed and selfishness rather than outright maliciousness. So it's like, who is this, like, broken person who's got everything but clearly has nothing?
It is very Ice King.
I feel like it's a temporary team up then. I feel like him stealing the Star Rod must benefit him in some way. Like, if all of the Dreamland citizens have nightmares, then it prevents him from getting something that he wants, probably.
Here's what you could do. He's having nightmares. So it's also like it's selfish, but it's also like he's scared. Do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't want to have bad dreams anymore, so he steals the thing.
And all the nightmares are like, he's not a king anymore, and
nobody likes him. Even though that's his real life.
That's his real life,
He just doesn't want to have it in his dreams, too. Well, this makes me wonder, though, if you need...
Kirby
if you need...
at all.
It also makes me wonder if it helped... Because I know this is the second game. Like, do you need more time with King DDD as, like, the bad guy? For it to feel like a true shake 'em up when they
yeah,
team
that's
up.
Why I kind of like if you start with him, like introducing, I feel like your status quo is King DDD is like taking all the food from the kingdom. He's a bad king, right? Is how you would, and then Kirby shows up, which not to derail us, but I feel like let's get to the heart of the matter.
Who's Kirby?
Who is Kirby? What does Kirby want?
I have to jump in with one thing really quickly because I realize that the game we're describing is not Kirby's Dream Return, Kirby's Dream Land 2. I apologize. It's actually from Kirby's Adventure, the 1993 NES game. So I did not want to get blown up on Twitter like that. So. Kirby. Let's dive in.
So I don't think this is at all in the canon of Kirby, but I kind of always saw Meta Knight as like Kirby's alter ego. So I didn't know that he was a good guy. Because you fight him in Kirby Superstar.
Who is Meta Knight? Because I'm a complete Meta Knight novice.
I don't fucking know.
he's every night.
He's every night.
As his name
he's
suggests.
He's every night. I mean, in the SN, in Kirby Superstar, he has a crazy ship, and then you as Kirby single-handedly take it down, and then you kill him.
Oh, wow.
That's basically what it is. So I didn't know in that video when it says that, like, they team up, I thought that they were nemeses. I thought they were...
Well, let's see here. So yeah, he's like he looks like Kirby in a cool knight outfit with a sword, and
right.
He's got dragon wings.
Which
right?
makes me wonder if Kirby's nightmares have Meta Knight in them. Oh. Like if Meta Knight is from Kirby's nightmares.
Okay, if you do that, the nightmares Kirby. If Meta Knight is like because people
nightmare Kirby.
Yeah, because they don't. I guess he's mysterious, and it's like he's clearly the shape of Kirby.
Yeah,
like, let's be clear. He's Kirby in armor. For people who don't know who Meta Knight is, Meta Knight is Kirby, but with armor, a sword, and wings. So it would make sense that, yes, like, maybe Meta Knight is the whatever, dark version of
it's like
Kirby.
The cool right. teen version.
The cool
of,
teen version of Kirby.
It's,
it seems like Meta Knight is, like, he's, you know, kind of, he's closed off, and his intentions are often hidden, and, you know, so they've gone from being rivals to allies, and it's always, like, a friend or foe type thing.
Same
like,
with DDD.
It's like a, yeah, DDD. It's kind of like, it feels like Kirby is Batman and Meta Knight is Selina Kyle. Do you know what I mean? Like, the sexy version of Kirby.
Oh, shit. What if you did, maybe this is too much for the first Kirby movie, but now imagine if King Dedede was having nightmares, and the main figure of his nightmares was Meta Knight. And when he sees Kirby, he thinks Kirby is Meta Knight, and that's why he hates him. And then in order to destroy King Dedede, Kirby, unbeknownst to him, becomes like, again, he's like, I need armor to fight the armies. And then Kirby does become the monster that King Dedede is scared of.
So I want
to... And to fight monsters unless you become one.
I do like that a lot, actually. I want to jump in for a second because one of the thoughts I had watching the video was like this, like it's dreamland. And it feels
right.
like it'd be really interesting to play with dreams, like to mm-hmm. do like Inception with Kirby, like to kind of like, or at least kind of like play with like, again, like kind of like if this is a kid's movie, let's blow some kids' minds with it. Like, and the, but again, that idea of like, your fears, like what is a nightmare, right? Mm. Like what is, mm-hmm. like it is your worst repressed fears, you know, haunting you, right? And those things drive you, you know, during your waking life as well. So like the, I think that's something, I think, I don't know. I don't have anything to say other than that. I think that's kind of interesting.
That is interesting. And that kind of comes back to the question of what is Kirby?
Yes.
Who is he? What's
yes.
his deal?
Well,
is it even a he?
It's true.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think
he
it's,
is.
I don't know.
Can't,
if it,
canonically.
Yeah. Is he?
I think people say he,
is.
Right?
Kirby,
is Kirby
boy or girl.
While you're figuring that out, I don't want to give spoilers to Star Allies, but I'm looking at a picture that just says Meta Knight Unmasked.
He looks like he's like a Dark Side Kirby.
It's Dark Side Kirby.
Literally.
All right.
Well, but,
so we
I mean,
know
Kirby's
that...
defining feature, voracious appetite.
Right.
An ability to somehow, so, like almost like warlord-esque, like just,
consumption.
You know what I'm talking about? Just consumption.
But
just
like, I like to think of it that he takes in bad things and
makes
turns
them good.
To good. Like he takes like dangerous, like sword-wielding dudes and then like he has
makes
a cute
friends.
Hat. He makes some friends.
Like he Disneyfies them a little
it
bit.
It is
yeah.
like.
But then doesn't he.
It's like communist.
So just to be clear, I really want to dig into it because I haven't played the game that much, Matt.
Okay.
So when you suck in an enemy,
yes.
you go and you got the enemy mm-hmm. in your mouth.
Yeah, and then
body.
You poop it out.
You have two options.
What are your options?
You can either spit it out and it comes out as like a beautiful star that
mm-hmm.
kills enemies.
So you kill, but you killed that thing
you
that you
destroyed.
Well,
it, yeah.
for
kill
sure.
or transform it into something beautiful. As
and then
we
use
all
that
you look
beautiful
at.
Thing
aren't
to kill
we all
something else?
Just aren't we all just particles of stardust in the end? Kirby's
he's
just
an existential. He's just a walking existential crisis. He just
all
consumes
right.
you.
I want to throw a massive wrench in the works here.
No.
Just to give us one more ball to juggle. It feels like the subject of Kirby's gender is actually up for debate.
Mm.
Really?
I'm getting this from GameFAQs, so take it with a grain of salt.
The web's number
someone's
one
like,
source of video game knowledge.
As someone's like, as far as I'm aware, there's never been a Japanese Nintendo source that stated Kirby's gender. I think it was like when they brought it to America.
Localization.
Mm. Localization
we decided
was a
that
heat.
It was
yeah.
So my thought would be let's do a fucking gender-neutral character. Kirby's a pink, amorphous
yeah,
space
yeah.
blob. Let's just do a they-them.
I mean, yeah.
So, yeah, no, I don't think we need to. I think
he's
Kirby.
Yeah. I mean,
They're Kirby. Aren't you happy to be trying this out on a podcast?
Yep. No, it's good. Good okay, lesson.
So, but I think we can refer to Kirby as they, and that Kirby is does not have a gender, because
right,
Kirby is
a they,
fluffy
them.
Pink cloud from
it's
space.
It's an alien.
Yeah.
Wait, Matt, question. So
okay.
You're two, I want to drill down really quick. So your options are, one, you spit out an enemy, and they become
a star.
A star. or you press down and then you absorb the enemy. So when you absorb,
and consume their power. So if they were
when you say consume the power, I know like Kirby like gets costume change on that.
Yes.
Well, like, so what happens specifically?
So like if there's like a sword creature, which I don't remember his name, but if you absorb him, you get a little hat and then you have a sword and then you get different abilities.
So you get like a cosplay version of what
yes,
you just ate.
Yes, exactly. Or you can press whatever. He puts his little hands up in the air and then he makes a buddy that
what?
A friend can play.
Oh, in the new one.
In the Kirby Superstar as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's how we played it. So you could either take the power for yourself or you could basically transform the creature from bad to good and then your friend would play that person.
There's a really good version.
That's some heavy shit.
And then you eat food and you kiss and you give the health back. You can share the health.
Okay.
What does Kirby want?
Oh, man, this is frying my brain.
Okay, so if... Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So if Kirby's main MO is eating, right? So I wonder if there's an element of... Is Kirby an outcast? Did they eat so much on their actual planet? Were they so voracious that they were outcasts?
Or maybe, Highlander style, Kirby's last motherfucker standing.
Like Superman.
Like the Kirbys ate each other?
Oh what God. Else is left? What else is left?
Oh, you're saying that...
That's his dark
you're
secret.
Saying Kirby ate... It was a planet of Kirbys.
And they ate each other?
That fought to the
and
death.
And he is the ultimate Kirby.
Okay, Kirby is... Okay, I like...
A lone survivor?
I like where you're going with it, Ashley, which is... Look, we know Kirby is a strange alien that's landed on this planet.
Yes.
So like Superman, we should figure out how they got here.
Right.
And ultimately what they want and why they are a good hero.
So what if Nightmare started on Kirby's planet?
Okay.
And you know, kind of laid waste to it. And like Superman, just basically the exact same plot of Superman. Kirby's parents send Kirby away or whatever. And then Nightmare follows.
Okay.
If we want to link them.
If you do, Nightmare made everybody on Kirby's planet crazy because everybody was consumed with nightmares.
Couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm.
Parents, Kirby's parents, the thing you learn is Kirby's parents were so scared they just sent him. So like Kirby's homeland is still out there.
Mm.
They were so scared that Kirby was going to get hurt that they banished him, but he never understood because he didn't like, so as far as he's concerned, like his parents just
didn't want him.
Didn't want them. I don't know.
Okay, so I'm intrigued by the idea of Kirby obviously as an outsider to Dreamland.
Yeah.
Is interesting. Mm-hmm. And then again, like that first, like, does Kirby want, like, acceptance or community? Does Kirby want a family? Like, is Kirby looking for, like, even what I find interesting about, like, absorbing other people's identities, right? Like, I think the fact that Kirby is such a blank slate is, like, what Kirby's arc could almost be. Like, who are you, Kirby? Like, it's also just, like, the idea of, like, even playing for County, like, all the people of Dreamland are just hanging out, and then this weird pink blob shows up, and then they're like, hi, I'm, you know, Meta Knight, I'm whoever, and then the thing just sucks them up and then poops them out and is now, like, wearing their clothes? Like, that's got to be a pretty surreal experience. But, like, the idea that, like, Kirby doesn't know what they are. Or, like, Kirby doesn't...
What about this? Kirby needs to make a real friend. Because all the ways that Kirby has made friends in the past is destructive. Right? Like, I feel like that's a good flaw. Because I think you got to turn into the weirdness of Kirby. And it's like, yeah, Kirby, all Kirby knows is consume. And you know, then the ways, and even the friends that they make by pressing up is like, it's a temporary friend. It's like, no, Kirby needs to actually have and build a real relationship that's not based on, it's based on mutual respect.
It's like a Sherlock Moriarty thing with him and DDD, where they're basically two sides of the same coin.
Well, you could do, what could be interesting is you could do like, I just imagine, like, all of the people of Dreamland are shitty and provincial and mean. But you do, like, they don't like Kirby because Kirby's weird and different from them. And then Kirby, like, starts dressing like them, essentially, right? Like, starts, like, wearing the you know, like, again, sucks them up and then adapts, right? And it's, like, almost like a chameleon. And that's how Kirby finds acceptance on this world, right? It's like, oh, Kirby, yeah, he's just, Kirby's, they're just like us, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because Kirby, you know, when he's hanging out with the knights, he, you know, transforms to look like a knight. When they're hanging out with, there's going to be a lot of that, by the way. I apologize to anyone who is just cringing every time I do that. I'm trying. But no, like what you said, like needing to make a real friend,
right.
Needing to be
yourself.
But you would do that, like, King Dedede shows up, and they all, everyone in the town fucking hates King Dedede.
Yeah.
And they, Kirby goes to kick King Dedede's ass, more or less to be accepted and to be popular with everybody else or something like that. You know what I mean? They're like, King Dedede's a bad guy. Like, we need a great hero to go get our food back, right? And that's how it starts. Mm-hmm. And Kirby is this, at first, this alien from another world who nobody likes, but then they go on this quest to get the food back, and then, hey, everyone loves Kirby now, right? Mm-hmm. But uh-oh, King Dedede's up to his old tricks, and Kirby still wants that feeling of acceptance and just is like, sort of bought the party line on what's going on. I don't know. Is this getting anywhere?
Maybe the townspeople are using him to be right. Like I like the idea that there's a sinister element that he turns through his good-heartedness. So they're like, yeah, maybe this is how we can get rid of King Dedede. Let's sick this weird pink alien on him. And Kirby, in the bid for acceptance, is like, all right, cool. I'll do that. And you know, does their bidding, but then realizes, oh, what a terrible thing that I've done. You know?
I think you want to get down to, so as you were talking, like, the tough thing I have is, like, I don't think you want to, like, make Kirby's power this, like, ironic, like, it's weird to be, like, Kirby's power itself is, like, the ironic thing that we're making fun of or, like, not embracing.
Oh, yeah, no, I think, sure, I don't think we need to make it a horror thing.
So I like the, but no, what happens if you do something, like, I like the idea of being accepted, like, it's a classic kid story, like, what makes them different is going to make them special, right? Mm-hmm. So if they were a little alien, mm-hmm. it's like, who's the little alien in Futurama that eats everything?
Nibbler?
Yeah.
They are like a nibbler. Mm-hmm. Kirby shows up, whatever the waddles or whatever they are.
Yeah.
One of them gets Kirby, and the first thing little Kirby does is like eat the house or something. And they're like, oh my God, like we need to kill this creature, and like somebody protects him. And over time, they learn to control it, and they don't use it. But this adventure is going to make his, you know, difference something important. Like they constantly, like the town ends up loving them. They are also a burden because they need so much food, like Nibbler does. Like mm-hmm. Kirby just eats all the time. And they have to be careful because if they eat something accidentally, they consume them and stuff like that. But it'd be like Kirby is this weird, beloved creature of this town that eats uncontrollably, and it's not their fault. That's just who they are.
Okay. I'm always fascinated by, like, in kids' entertainment, like, that, like, the main character is, like, someone very small, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. like, the Smurfs, right? Like,
yeah.
The kids, I remember Brian Frenzy would always talk about this. It's like, kids like empathizing with, like the gnomes and the gnome movies, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're this, because when you're a kid, you're this small person in a world you don't understand, right?
Yeah.
Like, with all of these bizarre rules about what you can and can't do, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and you're constantly, like, all you want to do, all you do is want to eat and have fun and whatever,
yeah.
like, but you are just trying to be your precocious, innocent self, and then the world slowly tells you who you are and how to adapt and be
yeah.
in that world, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then at a certain point, you need to rebel against that. You need to challenge that. You need mm-hmm. to actually, you kind of realize you need to be yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? So I could see a similar arc for Kirby, where Kirby is essentially a child in this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine a toddler or like a precocious giant baby, right? Like that doesn't understand anything. I'm not saying that, you know, Kirby's an infant, but like that Kirby is literally from a completely different society, completely different everything. So this idea that Kirby wants love and that Kirby wants acceptance, right? Again, like Kirby was sent away from their home planet and Kirby, you know, comes to Dreamland wanting those things and then is going to sort of adapt to the rules of what Dreamland is and
mm-hmm.
what the people of Dreamland demand of them for acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, to me, I was like, I think I could see a movie that's almost like a two-hander where the first part of this, right, like if
mm-hmm.
you're talking about the arc of it, like the first half of it is this growth towards Kirby going from being this totally baffling outsider to everybody in Dreamland to becoming their champion,
mm-hmm.
right? And Kirby mm-hmm. gets the food back or, you know, defeats King Dedede and everyone's, Kirby, you're the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then Kirby starts to realize the dark sides, essentially, of
mm-hmm.
Dreamland, or, you know, like the way that the people, and again, it would all be about fear, right? That
mm-hmm.
the way that people's fears in Dreamland have made them irrationally afraid of King Dedede, the way they've made King Dedede irrationally afraid of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that part of you where you start asking, like, well, why do we have these dumb traditions? Why do we say those people over there are bad? Like, and then so you would have Kirby then has to, the risk then is that Kirby has done all of this work to be accepted by these people that now love them. But now Kirby has to, you know, defend King Dedede and, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, or again, realizes that their actions are having these, you know, sort of like grave consequences. And then they have to atone for that and come to like a more kind of cohesive balance between yourself and the people you love. Is that making
mm-hmm.
any sense?
I don't know. What if you kind of approach, maybe this takes a little bit of a dark turn, but like, I think another thing that I can relate to as a kid is like the idea, especially as you start growing up, is like the idea that you're a burden, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, especially like if you lived in like, you know, lower income and like you realize your parents are like struggling to support you. And what if, I'm think of, like, what's this inciting incident that puts him on the adventure? And what if, again, if you do that, Kirby's a strange alien. They are essentially this little, you know, child in this world. And, again, everybody loves him, and they take care of him. But deep down, like, imagine if it was Seven Samurai, but, like, one of the villagers ate a lot of rice. Right? Like, that's what Kirby is. And everybody doesn't want to tell them that they are a problem because they love him, and he's this adorable, good-hearted creature. But they are a big burden. And then if DDD stole all the food... Right? DDD's going around because he had a nightmare that he's going to starve to death.
Okay, dog's first on the chopping block.
Yeah. Well, you would have some of the villagers would say something like, we can't support Kirby anymore. And somebody would even compare him to DDD. It's like,
right.
Kirby's just DDD also. It's like, yeah, he's not mean about it, but Kirby eats all of our food also. And little Kirby overhears that in the same way that, like, you know, right? Have you overheard your parents say something like, we haven't been on vacation for years since that? And Kirby runs away terrified and sad and scared and doesn't want, and he wants to save his village but it starts with, like, this hurtful place where he feels like a burden. And he maybe even wants to understand DDD because DDD is the first person he's seen who eats as much as he does. So he's looking for understanding because he's never met anybody like that. Of course, DDD's not a Kirby. DDD's just, like, stealing all. Like, he gets there, DDD's just this mountain of food for no reason because he's terrified that the apocalypse is going to happen. He's hurting because he had some nightmare or something. But, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what's that thing that makes... And then you're in this, like, very, like, hurtful... I feel like that's understandable to a kid. I don't know.
I like that. I like that he gets blamed for it. That's interesting. So these people basically just live under a tyrant, right? Currently. Yeah. So I wonder if there's something about, like... They actually don't know that DDD is corrupt, and that maybe Kirby is the first person that realizes it.
Mm. Yeah.
And has to save the town from its... So they kind of just give DDD so much... Like, Kirby as an outsider is the only one that's like, why are we giving him, like, 80% of the food? Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, like, so maybe there's a thing where the inciting incident is, like, you have to come and present your food, your, like, offering, basically, to King DDD, and it's, like, Kirby's first time doing it with his family or something like that.
Or, like, the little Waddles show up, like, and you... deliver all the food or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I really like that. Here would be my thought is, is it like, in terms of that inciting incident, kind of giving you a plot way, like Kirby gets framed essentially for, like, again, like there's all the big harvest has happened, right?
Yes.
And like, so then you do just one day, like, again, like before the big, you know, celebration, it's almost like Paddington 2, you know, Paddington 2, Paddington gets framed for stealing the pop-up book, but you would do all the food goes missing.
Yes.
Right? And they're like, must have been fucking Kirby. Kirby's always eaten. And so then Kirby is devastated and they run away, right? Or they're exiled from the community. And then they're trying to figure out what the heck happened, right? Because Kirby is desperate to be accepted by the people of Dreamland. And then they go on this big adventure. They find out it was King DDD.
Yes. It's not about that he's framed. I mean, that's what sucks. But everybody expresses the things that they were always feeling to him, right? Like, they are framing him because deep down, they're all like, you're a burden.
Yeah.
Like, of course we think...
It's the excuse.
And it's like, Kirby realizes, like, oh, everybody deep down maybe hates me is their response. I like that. And then they want acceptance and they want to solve the case.
Right.
Essentially. Yeah. Or they need to figure out who took the food.
Well, I was going to say that maybe because if he runs off, like, into the forest, you know, there's those, like, trees that have, like, the faces or whatever you could do. Like, if he runs into the forest to kind of, like, be alone and he eats something and then the first time he, like, pops them out, it's the first time he pops one of them out and it turns into a friend or something like that. That, like, didn't mind that he ate him. Like, so instead of it being, like, kind of an insidious thing, it's like, oh, yeah, I was angry and sad before, but now I feel kind of great. Like, what's your deal?
That's interesting. Okay. So, like, that would be the people he meets on, or that they meet on the hero's journey, so to speak.
Right. He makes a little fellowship, I guess.
Wait, is this, like,
like Olaf and Frozen? Or
is this, like, a weird... No, I was going to say more like, this is, like, a weird, like, he's... I'm just reading this, and now it's, like, sexually repressed. And then he goes out in the forest, and then he finally starts fucking. He meets a group of people that are okay with him consuming. It's so weird.
Again, I'm not super familiar with how the Kirby games work.
Yeah.
So it is like you're going through the game as Kirby, and then there you see the bad guys, right?
Right, and then you just suck them up.
You suck them up, and then you kind of just eat them completely? Do you poop them out like Yoshi?
So if you decide to consume them for their power, they just disappear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you get like a hat and a different weapon. Mm-hmm. And if you make them a buddy... then I think they get, like, a slight color reskin.
Yeah, I mean, they're gone.
And then they're friends. They're dead.
Yeah.
The person that they were before Kirby ate them is gone.
Yeah, if there was three of us, Kirby came in here, and then they ate you,
Will, as
there
we
are
know
three
it,
options.
Has ceased to
Will
exist.
Is gone forever. Mm-hmm. Kirby becomes looks like you for a moment, and then you're gone forever. Or he makes another one of you.
That is
like your
that
buddy.
Is sensitive to his goals.
That's sensitive to his goals, and no longer and no longer is the Will I know. Like, those are the three options. None of those I would like to happen.
I know. So is it that he needs to learn not to do that, to not consume?
That's pretty wild.
But then they are not really Kirby.
Yeah, that would be like asking, like, kind of, should a shark not eat?
Yeah.
Like little fishies. Like, they are who they are. They are.
That's the scariest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, that's the thing, basically.
Yeah.
Kirby is the thing.
Yeah. So I wonder if, like, Kirby finds a different village of people that are in dire straits. Like, mm-hmm. Dreamland, maybe even though DDD is a tyrant, he does keep the citizens safe. But there are places of Dreamland that are a bit more lawless. Mm-hmm. And so when Kirby uses their power there, they're actually benefiting the people. And then maybe they kind of learn how to be less indiscriminate about how they consume. But then it feels like a theme about self-control, and then is it shaming people? Like,
okay.
Is it fat shaming? I'm getting, like, really in the weeds with this Kirby story.
Yeah,
I would think, all right, here's something I could see, because obviously in the game, Kirby has some sort of moral axis and doesn't, like, go eating and killing good people in the
right.
game. Like, there are people of Dreamland that Kirby protects.
So I wonder if maybe the issue is not the, maybe it shouldn't be the overconsumption thing. Like, maybe,
yeah.
You know, I wonder if it's maybe, like.
Well, I feel like, so in terms of, like, an overall arc, I feel like the sort of progress of, like, Kirby's relationship to this society and then, you know, coming to a sort of deeper understanding about it. And, like, that essentially a quest for love that
right.
starts as a quest for acceptance but then ultimately becomes self-acceptance. Like, that's
right.
a pretty classic arc. So I
right.
feel like that, if we can kind of, like hold fast to that, I think the rest of this stuff we can sort it out. I don't know. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I'm in the weeds reading about the anime. I mean, it was popular and lasted a long time, so clearly they did a good job.
Maybe they just didn't care about the moral ambiguity of what he
well,
was doing.
Well, so one of the things they were saying is that the important thing is there's no humans and Kirby doesn't talk.
Oh.
So it does, again, to get to, like, it is, like,
I definitely like Kirby
Gremlins.
Not talking. Gremlins.
Like, they, like, right, like, again, it's you're not judging, they are a creature that consumes things. That's why I, like, kind of like the idea that there is this, your other characters are going to have to be the people of the town or the people. Like, right, it would be like a boy, girl, and their dog story also. Like, right, mm-hmm. if, like, there must be other characters besides just Kirby
mm-hmm.
that could talk, but also that, you know, again, I like the idea that people, like, Kirby is this thing that lets, that's, like, I don't know. People's morality comes out with how they treat Kirby. Some people think Kirby is a nuisance. Some people think they are evil. Other people think, like, they're
mm-hmm.
look, they're not malicious. Like, they just consume because that's, again, Nibbler just eats because he has to eat. Like,
right.
And then your goal is to stop him from eating little creatures. Like, again, in Shape of Water when he kills a cat. Like,
right.
It's like, what's great about that moment is the guy's like, yeah, I mean, he's, what's going to happen? Like, it's my fault for having the cat there. Like, I can't blame him. Like, it's that's what it does.
So do you think the issue that gets him driven from the town should still be that they think he ate everything?
Yeah, I think that could be like the like final straw for them.
Right.
Is they are pretty sure Kirby ate everything.
So then I wonder how he, so then what happens?
Okay, so let's maybe try to attack this from another angle.
I was
angle.
About to say, should we zag and just.
Should we just zag and do Donkey Kong? No,
no, no, no. no.
To take this from another angle, like, if you look at the structure of these games, they have a very simple conflict usually, right?
Mm-hmm.
King DDD steals all the food. Kirby's got to go steal the food.
Yeah.
Kirby's got to go get the food back. King DDD steals the scepter, right? And then
yeah.
mm-hmm.
Kirby goes to get the scepter, but oh no, King DDD was a good guy this time. Now the real bad guy reveals
yeah.
itself.
Mm-hmm.
So like let's try to approach it from that angle for a second in terms of like what is that conflict? And because I think we
right.
have a lot of I think we got a lot of interesting parts, but I don't know what we're building yet in terms
mm.
of like, are we
right.
making a car? Are we making a bicycle? We've got wheels and gears and metal, but like we've got all the materials. I think you just need like that form to kind of.
I got it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I got it. Here we go. The characters Kirby meets along the way should essentially be what we are doing right now, as in like they are going to. Kirby's in his own existential crisis. Like, Kirby doesn't belong. Kirby eats. Kirby's a roly ball. Kirby can smash stuff. Kirby does all his, like, horrible stuff, like, theoretically. And if you did, everybody starts having nightmares that they're going to starve. So, like, right, just to try to combine these two things, whether or not we do this.
Go, go, go.
He's in a small town. He landed here on as an alien.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking care of him, but he's a problem. They eat a bunch. They cause issues. They eat houses. They sometimes have consumed children, and then he poops them out just in time before they die. People are like, okay, this guy's cute. they are cute, but they are a problem. They start having nightmares. There's going to be a famine. There's no more food. They start stockpiling all their food. Kirby's having nightmares. His nightmares is that nobody likes him, that he has no friends. They wake up, all the food's gone. They all blame Kirby. Kirby's sad. Everybody hates him. Everybody hates them. Sorry, everybody. Everybody hates them. This is a good lesson. I feel like I'm learning from this episode.
Yeah.
They run off into the woods. They see they not only that, Kirby believes that they did it. Like, they have no reason not to. They had nightmares. Like, they're like,
so
maybe
they
I did
do
it.
And the food is gone.
Yeah, and they're like, maybe I did do it. Kirby could even be right there, like, fat and having maybe eaten it. But he's in the forest, and they see something. They see a little Waddle run off with some food. And he thinks, wait a second, maybe somebody else did this. They journey along. They meet people along the way. And the first person, like, you know, it's the classic, like, it's a scoundrel on the road and they're going to rob Kirby. And then they realize that Kirby's sucking ability is good for pickpocketing. So they use Kirby for a bit. And then they find out, like, oh, the food was stolen from this town, too. So then, like, the guy is just so amused with Kirby's good morality that he comes along with them. And then they get to this town and there's a preacher and everybody's lost. And the preacher realizes, like, Kirby's voice is good for a megaphone and they use Kirby. But it's like you have all these people, like, and Kirby starts realizing that they're special. Like, all of their abilities are good for all these people. Mm-hmm. And the journey along the way is figuring out who actually stole food and what these nightmares are about. And they end up being like that's, and then you get to Dee Dee somehow. But that's like the way the journey begins. And then Kirby starts believing in himself and loving themself and whatnot.
So maybe in this version, King Dedede isn't, like, framed.
Yeah, I would say, like, Dedede is, like, the problem. I would say this is the first story. Let's just not try to do this double thing. Dedede is stealing all the food. Kirby's going to find out that they didn't eat it themselves, but he's also going to...
So he teams up with Nightmare, potentially. Like, Nightmare wants to suck up... I don't know. There's some reason that he wants everyone to have nightmares. So maybe Dedede wants Kirby out.
Here's what I think you do. I think your nightmare is like, nightmare is like your Thanos. Like, I feel like you hint that Nightmare's been causing the nightmares.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know what I mean? But, like, I think maybe we tee that up for movie two. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you do that, like, people are having these bad dreams about Kirby and stuff like that. And, like, it's, I don't know.
I can see that because it would be like, they stop. They usurp Dedede. Dedede is like, as they get closer to this journey, the land gets more and more famine and there's nothing left. Because, right, it's like as you get closer to Dedede's kingdom, he's already consumed everything. And when they get there and they use, and whatever, the Kirby and his allies now, and their allies, save the kingdom and they imprison Dedede. Mm-hmm. And you'd have that moment where, like, Kirby's
haven't gone back to normal.
Well, Kirby's sitting there at, like, the prison cell and their friend's like, what do you do, Dedede? And he's like, I had a nightmare. I had a nightmare that the whole world was going to be consumed. I was trying to help you all. And they walk up. Like, yeah, whatever you say. And they walk up. And Kirby's like, wait a second. Maybe. And then you cut to Nightmare off in the distance. You're like, excellent. And you're like, oh, no. Like Dedede was just also affected by nightmares. There's a greater bad guy or whatever. But, yes, the basic goal of stopping this famine around the kingdom and stopping Dedede from stealing everybody's food has been accomplished. But you know that there is this greater problem, which is this horrible thing that causes everybody to have nightmares.
I want to talk about the elephant in the room, which is that Freddie got a signal from our assistant Cameron and then left in the middle of the podcast. So I assume we're supposed to keep going. So
yeah,
that's what we've been doing.
It's all good.
Okay.
What do you think about the basic idea of Kirby's a problem? Kirby's this little weird alien who feels out of place. They live in this small town.
It's like the Hercules thing.
Yeah. Right? And the food is taken and people blame Kirby. Mm-hmm. And Kirby goes to solve the problem.
Yes. Right. I love that. Yeah.
Okay. And that's your inciting incident. Do we like that there is a nightmare element to it? That people, that the food they stole were people got scared and terrified. And again, there could be an element of just like the lesson being like, don't be fearful. Like, right? It's like they hear the fake news.
Oh, God.
That's right. Relevant. They hear the fake news. The nightmare says allegory for fake news. And they start hoarding all their food. And then it disappears. And Kirby's found there, tummy full, food everywhere. They blame them. And then Kirby is banished. And Kirby believes at first that maybe they did do it, and then they realize, no, I'm going to solve this, because they don't want the town to starve, and they all start seeing that there's problems everywhere and around Dreamland or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your beginning.
Yes. I think you can actually meet King Dedede pretty early on. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that you have to, because Isaac also, he goes, they go to find King Dedede, and then finds out that King Dedede is possessed by these terrible nightmares, mm-hmm. right? And everyone's like, no one suspects King Dedede because King Dedede is like a good king, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, just one day, King Dedede just went crazy and stole a bunch of food, right? So, like, Kirby's like, but Kirby, they want to figure out what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm wondering if the nightmare thing is too much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just, yeah, it right. feels if you lift the nightmares.
It just feels like we've got, like...
So food is just going missing.
Here's what I would say. I would say you either... Because, again, like, I think you can either do the food is the main problem or, like, the star wand is the main problem and people right. aren't having dreams anymore. That's mm-hmm. how the game... That's how the two games split yeah. out, right? Like, right. the first Kirby is, like, all the food goes missing, Kirby's got to get the food back, right? Yeah. And then the second game... The Star Wand, DDD steals the Star Wand, no one can have dreams anymore, Kirby goes to get it back, oh shit, there's a twist.
Yeah.
I don't think you can have... Do just, both, yeah. It's just two central conflicts. Like, is it about nightmares, is it about food?
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So mm-hmm. I feel like that's a struggle, and I think that that's also something that's gumming up the works.
Yeah. What's more interesting?
I feel like the nightmares are potentially more interesting. Well, it's just totally completely different, right? If it's mm-hmm. food being stolen, I feel like it's more of like a silly romp.
Mm-hmm.
If it's nightmares, then I feel like it's a bit more... Action-y.
I agree. Yeah. I'm inclined to agree.
Because there's also, I don't know, it just feels like a more like a fairy tale. It's like nobody dreams anymore.
And then right. you could blame, they think Kirby's eating their dreams. Like yeah. you could still do that. They all blame Kirby for
yeah.
it.
Right. It could have, I mean, it might be too convenient if it coincides with like when he shows up. If mm-hmm. it's like, if there's something about like.
I think you could maybe do that. Like James Bond doesn't need a movie where like James Bond comes to Britain and like we explain right. who James Bond is. So you could do your opening action sequence essentially. Like your opening sequence is like.
Kirby's already accepted.
Is Kirby won? You know what I mean? Like is that Kirby, that King Dedede is trying to abscond with all the food and Kirby comes in like, not so fast, motherfucker. And yeah. they just beat the shit out of King Dedede and save the town. Everyone's like, Kirby, you're the best. We love right, you. You're yeah. so cool. And then King, they're like, you know, Kirby's like, what got into you? Everyone's like, what got into King Dedede? Why did he steal all this food? Yeah. And King Dedede's been having these terrible nightmares, right? And so then the inciting incident is that no one is having dreams anymore. Do you know what I mean? Something like that?
Yes, I would do. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You could do the fun of that would be what you do is, yes, the opening scene is just Kirby.
Being Kirby.
Gets all, yes, Kirby saves, gets the food back.
Yeah.
They all celebrate. They have a big feast. King Dedede's in prison. Eventually, what you do is it's not quite Hannibal Lecter, but you would do King Dedede breaks out of prison at some point. But it's because King Dedede is desperate for what is in the game. Dedede needs to go steal the wand because he needs to stop his nightmares. Yeah. He's sitting there in a prison cell, twisted and maniacal like Joker. And then everybody's like, man, what's up with Dedede? He went crazy once he stole all that food. And then Dedede breaks out and steals the wand. Mm-hmm. And Kirby. Yes, everybody stops having dreams. Kirby thinks DDD's the problem. DDD broke out of prison and mm-hmm. stole this wand, so that's yeah. why nobody's having dreams anymore. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to realize, like, no, DDD was the first one to have nightmares, and he's going insane, and he's got the wand to stop Nightmare from giving him nightmares.
So maybe Kirby's arc is less about... He's already accepted in this case, so maybe mm-hmm. it's more about, like, accepting DDD. It's like he made, like, an assumption about him or something
yes.
like that.
Yeah.
Like, DDD's just been the heel for so long.
Yes. Kirby needs to understand that even the bad guys have both sides are good sides.
Yeah, maybe Kirby's just very black and white. I don't know what Kirby's arc is. I mean, because James, like, your James Bond reference, he's kind of just... He doesn't really, I don't know. In a lot of the movies, he doesn't really have an arc. He's just
sure.
Yeah.
He's just the dude.
I think,
what I mean?
Well, I think what you do is I think there's still an element of that Kirby doesn't really understand why they do the things that they do. Like Kirby yeah. fights mm-hmm. King Dedede because people love Kirby for protecting them from King Dedede. Yeah.
But he still feels like an outcast.
Yeah, Kirby is still very much like this symbol to everybody and this hero, but Kirby doesn't really understand themselves because mm-hmm. They just sort of have adapted to the surroundings. And I think you would do, once they go on this adventure, again, they think they understand that the world is a certain way, that King Dedede is evil and I am good and this is my identity, essentially. I am this person who lives in this town. And then, again, your midpoint essentially undoes everything that they thought they understood, right? Mm-hmm. It was like King Dedede was just, you know, there isn't evil. King Dedede is just another person. But then, like, I don't know.
I was just trying to think of what you're, like, yeah, what could your arc be? I feel like when he meets Nightmare, they're like, you know why you're the only one who can fight me, Kirby? Tell everybody the secret. And Kirby's like, I don't want to. Like, tell everybody the secret. It's like, because when I took everybody's dreams, you had none to take in the first place.
Oh.
And Kirby's like, no! But yeah, you do. Kirby doesn't
Kirby doesn't have dreams at all.
Oh. Yeah, Kirby doesn't want anything. Kirby's just a hero, and he's just they are just used and they are just there to help people, but they
so
don't
they
have,
always feel apart from everyone. They feel apart from everyone. They don't have dreams like all the other citizens.
Yeah, they don't have dreams. They just have duty. They just do what they need to do, but they don't have any actual want, basically. So they're just doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's the dark secret. And it's like, it doesn't make them anything less. And then they're like, no, it's like, you're wrong. I didn't have dreams because I already have everything I want. I have friends and I have people who care about me. You're not going to, yeah, that would be like essentially his thing, but it'd be a little bit of an existential crisis for Kirby. And that'd be something that he's dealing with like throughout it that you don't quite realize. Like everybody else is waking up and feeling miserable and they're like, what's the matter? They're like, wait. And then after a few weeks, like, none of us are having dreams. I'm miserable now. Like, I have no ambition. I don't want to do anything anymore.
That, yes, you would do, because I was also wondering, like, what does stealing their dreams do, right? And it gives everyone this, like, ennui.
Yes.
Or it gives everyone, like, no one wants to get up. No one wants to do anything. And Kirby is confused. They're like, why is, you know, like, because Kirby, and again, no one, and again, it's almost very selfish on Kirby's level. Like, no one is showering Kirby with praise and love. Like, it was supposed to be Kirby Day after they beat King DDD, and then no one wants to get up in time for Kirby Day.
His little buddy was making them cool armor.
Yeah.
Because they want to be the greatest armor blacksmith in the kingdom. And then Kirby shows, like, hey, how's the armor going? They're like, oh, what's the point?
So,
well, I don't want to be an armorer anymore. Because I'm cool where I am. Kirby's like, what?
Are their dreams being stolen or are they being given nightmares?
Oh, crap. It's nightmares. Yeah, never mind. Right?
Well, no,
so
first nobody's dreaming.
The same thing.
Oh, no. I think it was okay, if I remember correctly, it was that to quote the official canon, in the game, it's the nightmare shows up and starts giving everyone nightmares, and then then King DDD steals the wand.
And then no one has dreams.
And then no one has dreams at all.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, yes, what you would do is when DDD breaks out of, after their big festival for capturing DDD, he breaks out of prison. After their big feast, everybody has horrible nightmares, and DDD's escaped.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what happened?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, as time goes on, they're like, oh, that was weird. We all had a nightmare that day, and then Deity's gone, and nobody knows what he did.
Well, I think you would do that. It's like people, or even the people have been having nightmares. It's been like this ongoing thing, and then the nightmares stop, and they're not having dreams at all anymore. And I think that's why Kirby's been this hero, because Kirby makes them feel safe in the day, because they get scared at night.
The energy is like a kid who's trying to wake up like their parents to play. Like, Kirby runs down and feels like, guys, let's have fun. And all the farmers are like, who cares if the crops are going down? I don't have dreams anymore. Kirby's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go to my buddy the blacksmith. And like, I'm fine. He's like, okay, I guess I'll go play with my buddy the fisherman. He's like, he's like, what's going on, guys? What's happening? And nobody cares anymore. Nobody has dreams. Nobody has ambitions.
Well, this might be a bridge too far, but I wonder if part of... So, obviously, there's, like, a team-up that happens between him and DDD. When he tracks him down, he realizes that DDD is actually trying to help people. And I wonder if there's, like, a reticence to accept that, because the only reason he's loved is because he fights and defeats DDD.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the one keeping him in line. So, if DDD's not the bad guy anymore, then, like, what is Kirby, kind of? Like, he only knows himself in relationship. That might be too far.
That might be something that you play when they... Let's get there. That might be a thing that Nightmare uses, or DDD uses, like, in, like, that final battle, when they're like, do you really want to defeat me? If you defeat me, you are nothing, Kirby. You don't have dreams. The only thing you have is me. And Kirby's like, ah! Like, I could see something like that. Okay, so let's just try to walk through from... Kirby is just Kirby. They've shown up. They've saved the kingdom multiple times.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
They don't kill people. Kirby's just Kirby. Yes, the beginning is your cool action scene where Kirby breaks into King DDD's palace. DDD's in a mountain of food, like the dragon in The Hobbit. And they fight DDD, and they defeat him. They put him in prison. They give the food back to the kingdom. Everybody has a huge feast in celebration of Kirby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all have nightmares. They wake up. DDD's escape. Your inciting incident is DDD escapes. Everybody had horrible nightmares, and now Kirby realizes nobody cares about anything anymore. There is an ennui in the dreamland,
something like that. I feel like the timing of when they start, like, because you want to do they woke up and none of them had dreams last night.
Yes.
I think you would do the nightmares are part of the pre-existing conflict.
Yes, that's
if that makes sense. Yeah,
and maybe they link it even to DDD or something. I don't know, they think that it's somehow connected. Like that Kirby will save us from this or whatever.
I like that Kirby's got a little bit of like cocky arrogance.
Yeah.
So Kirby wakes up after having this incredible feast for him. And like, man, I can't wait to see how the day goes. He kicks open the door. They kick open the door. They start strolling through the town. And nobody waves to him. Like, oh, that's weird. What's going on? And just everybody's bummed. And then they realize, like, what happened? Yesterday was the best day ever. They're like, was it? I don't really remember. He's like, what the hell's going on? So, yes, that's, like, your beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what's the problem?
So then they find out that DDD's gone, presumably, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They find out that the people aren't having dreams. And they find out that DDD's gone. Mm-hmm. And then they make the connection. It must be something to do with DDD breaking out. I have to go find him.
Yes.
Yes.
So then they go off on their little adventure.
A rollicking adventure.
A rollicking adventure where you get all the bits with the trees, shooting apples and all that kind of shit.
Befriending woodland chums and brainwashing people.
Well, what's fun about that is that the very beginning is kind of like, I forget what episode of Sherlock it is, but it's Sherlock having no good cases is your, like, the beginning status quo is Kirby's bored.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even care that everybody else is bored at first. Like, they are just, Kirby's bored. They're like, I guess you could find my lost apple. And Kirby's like, all right. And then he's like, oh, here it is. And I'm like, oh, anything else? No, I don't care about anything else. And Kirby, it didn't register to Kirby at first because Kirby's ultimately a little selfish. Kirby's a little bit, he likes being the hero. It's so, like how he'd start it.
So, yeah. So, like, if you're going to do five acts, like, your first act is the opening Bond sequence where Kirby thwarts DDD. The big Kirby feast. Kirby is super happy and surrounded by love. That night, King DDD escapes. Everyone wakes up and something's happened and no one had dreams last night.
Yeah.
And now everyone's depressed and bummed. Kirby's confused. They start investigating and discover, holy shit, the Star Wand is gone. The thing that gives everyone dreams. Everyone's going to get more and more bummed. Everyone's going to get, I have to go find the Star Wand. DDD must have took it. I'm going to go track down DDD.
Yes.
Right.
And then maybe Kirby enlists the help of a certain, I'm going to say now, bounty hunter named Meta Knight, who's tracking DDD from another kingdom or something like that. And then you do even, I don't know.
Might as well get somebody in there that's...
I think you want, to me, Meta Knight is a version of Kirby that knows who they are. Do you know what I mean? Like, Meta Knight is like this, like the, or again, maybe Meta Knight just wears all this armor because Meta Knight's scared to show who they are. At any rate, your third act essentially becomes this adventure to go track down DDD, get the Star Wand back. And again, DDD's walled themselves up in this massive fortress, again, like another big castle. Oh, DDD's up to his old tricks. And so Kirby and their chums, like, beat DDD, get the wand. DDD's trying to warn Kirby, like, you don't understand what you're doing. Oh, no. They put the wand back in, and now Nightmare comes back more powerful than ever to take over the land, and then they have to...
They have to team up with DDD.
Yeah, they have to team up with DDD.
It could be that maybe DDD has some sort of advantage, like, because we were saying that he's the first one to get nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
So potentially maybe Nightmare saw him as, like... a weak point or something. Maybe there's something about the fact that he got nightmares first that gives him knowledge about Nightmare.
Yeah.
So they have to team up with him.
I like that. I was going to say the adventure, just to be like what that fluffy third act is like you could also do that, again, as Kirby's trying to find DDD, you could also do that Kirby's thing is like Kirby re-inspires people to get the help that he needs. Like, people lost their dreams, so Kirby...
We're missing the huge thing plot-wise. Sorry to interrupt. I just pulled it up from that. DDD breaks the Star Rod into seven pieces.
Yes.
To give to his minions, right? To his strongest allies, Wispy Woods, Paint Roller, Mr. Shine, Mr. Bright, and Mr. Bright, Krakow, Heavy Mole, and Meta Knight.
Yes.
Right? So those are the... But... Kirby, they think that all these people must be bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But King DDD's given them, and maybe some of them are, right? Because it's they just all got this, this powerful object from King, or whatever, right? They gives you powers, whatever. Kirby's got to go gather up all of the fragments. That's your third act, is meeting all of these characters, defeating their inner, badness and through empathy and love, and then they all come together, and then they capture Kirby gets all the shit back,
right?
And then
that's the
TV guide synopsis. Kirby gets all their shit back.
But I would do, and since it's about people lost their dreams, Kirby again, I like the whole variety that you could do in the third act. Some may be like it's an evil guy. Some could be as simple as like it's a painter who no longer paints, and the wand is the brush, but he refuses to let go. And Kirby's got to inspire the painter again or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yes, Kirby goes throughout the land to find the pieces of the wand, and then what happens? They get it.
They have to go back to his original home, King of Dedede's castle. He puts it back together, puts the star wand in, and then
in the
Nightmare.
Fountain, and then all hell breaks loose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's like, you idiot.
I was trying to warn you.
I was trying to warn you, you friggin' goof. Yeah.
Yes. So then everybody starts having nightmares now, which is worse than not having dreams.
Mm-hmm. So then maybe they didn't have nightmares before?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. They had nightmares. We were talking about
that.
Maybe only DDD was having nightmares.
DDD has been plagued by nightmares. That's why DDD goes to steal the wand.
You would do Nightmare wants to destroy the world. Nightmare gives the king nightmares to destroy the world.
Yeah.
Kirby defeats him. But unbeknowingly, both DDD and Kirby have done what they couldn't have done, which is now Nightmare has the power to give everybody nightmares, which is is way more powerful than he was before. So yeah, thanks everybody. Like, who cares about a bad king if I can just make everybody bad?
Yeah.
Right.
And Kirby's like, oh no.
So that's Act 4 is then everything, all hell breaks loose, the kingdoms plunge into darkness.
Everybody hates Kirby. So you do like the classic Kirby's literally hiding from everybody who he thought were his friends.
I like that.
And that's his existential, because like Kirby doesn't understand it, and the only person who doesn't have nightmares anymore is DDD.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and you might even do the DDD finds Kirby hiding. You know, like Kirby comes home and it's a classic pitchfork and whatever, and they're trying to kill Kirby. Kirby eats somebody. He's like, my God, what have I done? and he runs away, and DDD finds him and is like, yo, we gotta go stop this. And like, why do you care? It's like, there's no. Dee's class. It's the classic thing. Dee's like, there's no. I can't be a bad king if there's no kingdom. Like, Kirby's like, all right. We'll do this, but then I'm putting you back in prison. Like, yeah, we'll see about that, buddy. And then it's the. Yeah.
It's like when you team up with Bowser in Super Mario RPG.
Yes.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. We have 90 seconds.
We have 90 seconds. So yeah. Okay. That's more or less the movie though, because then they go to defeat Nightmare, and I think you do again. The thing I also really like getting to. Yeah, I like that Act 4 becomes this negation of the negation for Kirby, that the world becomes a waking nightmare to Kirby.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that they also. I still love that idea that Kirby has never had a dream before.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I think you would probably do, because Kirby doesn't really understand themselves. They don't know who they are, right? And I think you do in the climax of the fight.
Yes,
right?
The final touching moment is Kirby just has to do something, whatever the MacGuffin is, to win. And Nightmare is like, why don't you tell everybody? You've never had a dream. You have no dreams. What's the point, Kirby? You should go home or whatever. Yeah. And DDD's the one who's like, Kirby, you know why you're my archenemy? Because you have what I've always wanted. Everybody cares about you. You don't need dreams because you already have it. All it's like DDD's the one who tells Kirby, like, of what you do have a dream. You dream to be better. You dream to help everybody. And Kirby's like, you're right, DDD. And then they beat up Nightmare.
Yeah, and I think you can even do there's a sort of, for Kirby, there's a doing things for the right reasons kind of thing. It's not it's not just doing good deeds, you know, just to get
praise
sort of like service
and,
level
yeah.
adulation.
He still has to save the kingdom even though everybody hates him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yes, that's
it. You know, again, at the beginning, Kirby, they're just going off on the adventure because everyone has withdrawn their affection because they're dealing with their own shit, right? Everyone else is depressed. And Kirby's like, I have to make them undepressed so they will love me again, right?
Yes.
So then, but now Kirby is going to, despite the fact that everybody hates them, Kirby is going to go save the world.
Yes.
With King DDD. And then I was going to say you do Kirby in the big battle. They get knocked out and then they have a dream. And like you do like it's your like Kirby finally has their dream of like, I want to make the world a better place.
Here's what you do when they win. All the credit goes to King DDD.
Yes!
Kirby gets none of the affection, and he gives DDD what he always wanted, and he makes DDD a good person. So DDD will be a good king because DDD does something good. The story is DDD came, saved Kirby, and saved the kingdom. Everybody loves DDD. Kirby doesn't get any of the affection. He's just another person, but he's happy, and DDD's happy, and the world's happy.
And they're friends. And maybe the last scene you get is them having dinner together.
Yes. Yeah. And then, you do King DDD makes this really delicious feast and sets it in front of Kirby, and he's like, oh, right here. And then Kirby just eats it all.
And then
winks at the camera.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
that was 1 hour almost exactly.
Yeah.
So here's what I think we should do. I think we should drag Freddy back in here. And Freddy can be... Oh, there he... Perfect
Whoa,
timing.
Oh, the timing.
Oh, see, what I was going to do is I wanted to pitch it to Freddy. And
that's
then
what
we were going to play we were going to play Freddy. Since Freddy's gone. Freddy just showed up. Or we make Freddy pitch the movie.
No, right, I don't think that's fair. But I do think maybe Freddy can play King Freddy D. And then, Ashley, if you want to pitch this one, if you're feeling up to it.
Okay.
All right. We'll do that when we come back from this break, which is starting now.
Hey, folks. I wanted to tell you very quickly about some big news. April 2nd, baby. 2 weeks. The Max Fun Drive. I'm very excited to actually be a part of this. I've heard it in all the podcasts I've listened to and I know and love on the Maximum Fun Network. But finally, we get to be the ones.
At long last, we get to be part of the Max Fun Drive.
At long last, we get money.
So here's how it's going to work. For 2 weeks... we're going to be running two very choice episodes, and we have a special episode for new and upgrading members. There's also tons of other gifts and rewards that are not Storybreak related in case you hate our guts. But if you love us, there's going to be
if
a
If you
choice.
Love our guts, there's a very, very, very good, super secret, super special bonus episode we'll be uploading for new and upgrading members.
So this is going to be the best time to support Storybreak. Get pumped. 2 weeks, baby. It's coming.
April 2nd. Be there or be square.
Welcome back to the elevator pitch, the segment where, I guess you guys pitch me a movie.
And welcome back, Freddy, to the podcast.
I'd like to apologize. One day I'll explain what happened there. It was, but that day is not today, because today I'm going to hear about this Kirby movie,
which Will has a title for.
It's called Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh my God.
No!
I thought you had something good.
I'm leaving. Yep. I won't pitch it. And I refuse.
I'm standing here at bat, ready to go.
Who are you? Who are you playing?
I'm going to be playing.
Are you King Freddy D?
King Freddy D.
Okay, all right. King Freddy D of Dreamland.
Let's just say it's called Kirby's Dreamland. Fuck it.
Okay, Kirby's Dreamland.
Kirby's Dreamland, comma, fuck it.
Comma, fuck it. An Ashley Birch story.
That's the poster. That's the poster, everybody. Okay, here we go.
Okay, so it opens. Was our reference James Bond Casino Royale style, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Kirby is in media res in an adventure to stop King DDD from eating all the food in the town.
Fucking King DDD.
King DDD. He's a piece of shit. And so Kirby very easily thwarts him, and all of the citizens of Dreamland erupt in applause. They love him.
Hey,
they think he's great. And they lock King DDD up. He's not going to be of harm to anyone. And then the town throws this enormous feast in honor of Kirby.
Mm.
Kirby loves the adulation. He's a little bit cocky. They are a little bit cocky, damn it, in this permutation. They love the praise. They eat well. They go to sleep. And the next morning, they wake up. They walk outside, and everyone's bumming.
Whoa.
No one wants to do anything.
Whoa,
it's
what?
Just, yes. There's ennui has completely flooded the town. Everyone,
they're
like,
on weed?
They're on weed.
Oh.
They're all high.
Oh, okay. Stoner comedy, okay.
We decided to take it in a very different direction.
Okay.
There's ennui. Everyone's sort of bummed. And most importantly, no one is praising Kirby or like wants to hang out with them or wants
but
to tell them how great they are.
But
that's what Kirby's saying. Basically, they figure out that last night everyone's dreams got taken away. So the big thing about Dreamland, obviously, that is everyone has dreams and they love having dreams and that's what makes them happy. And so there are no more dreams. And Kirby goes to where he locked up King DDD. King DDD's gone.
Ooh.
And then more importantly, the Star Wand that is in the place where they keep the Star Wand in Dreamland has vanished. And so Kirby's like, of course, King DDD
fucking
stole
King
it.
King DDD.
And we don't know how they find this out, but basically the Star Wand has been split into seven. Split not in twain, but in
Svein.
Okay.
Yeah, but what's the story? What's Kirby going to do?
Kirby's got to track down all of the different fragments of the Star Wand.
Cool.
And because King DDD has entrusted these pieces with his minions, and Kirby fights them, but mostly with like love and empathy, and then sort of makes them turncoat, and then they all join, and then eventually he goes through, he collects all the star pieces, and then the last thing, the last piece is with King DDD, who's like kind of sealed himself in this fortress, and so Kirby now with his new friends that he has converted, basically, come to fight King DDD, and King DDD is protesting the entire time, like, no, you don't know what you're doing, you can't go back, like, he's like, Kirby's like, we're going to take this wand that you broke, we're going to put it back, and everyone's going to have dreams again. And King DDD's like, no, please, you can't do that. Kirby doesn't listen, goes back to the kingdom, puts the star wand in, and immediately darkness falls over Dreamland.
How far in the movie are we here?
This is the
end of the third act.
End of the third act.
Okay, okay.
So then a horrible monster called Nightmare appears, and we find out that King DDD was freaking out in his cell because he was just plagued with nightmares. He was the only one in the kingdom at the very beginning of the movie. And that's why he stole the Star Wand is because he wanted to make it so that he wouldn't have nightmares anymore. And that's why he split it, because he just didn't want that to happen. But when they put it back on the star pedestal, which is what I'm calling it now, it unleashes Nightmare. And now Nightmare has the power to give everyone nightmares, not just King DDD. Because he wanted to take over the king.
Yeah.
He wanted to take over the world. Nightmare wanted to take over the world.
By giving the king nightmares, but now there's stupid enough to give the whole kingdom nightmares.
So now everyone in Dreamland
has
nightmares.
So he's getting everything that he wants.
Yes.
And more.
And all of the people in Dreamland now hate Kirby. They gave the Nightmare gave them all nightmares.
But he was their hero!
I know!
They were their hero!
So now there's like, you know, pitchforks and torches. Everyone's trying to go after Kirby.
Real Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, now Kirby's in hiding against the people that once loved them. And the only person that doesn't have nightmares is King DDD. So now King DDD and Kirby have to team up and go fight Nightmare. And
we reveal that Kirby, the secret why Kirby's not affected is because Kirby never had dreams in the first place.
Oh!
And then
there's
the
character bit.
So Nightmare is using that to try to turn everyone against them further.
Uh-huh.
And then King DDD is actually the one that steps up to Kirby's defense and says, you don't need dreams because you're living your dream.
Yo!
The very end.
So Kirby and King DDD team up. They defeat Nightmare.
Yeah.
And then instead of Kirby taking the praise, they give all the credit to King Dedede.
Yo.
So now all
maybe
the people...
Kirby should be king. That's some magnanimous shit. Oh, that's some magnanimous shit.
I know.
That Kirby's doing. Only question.
Yes.
Who is writing the after credits rap song?
You guys are going to hate me for saying this, but it feels like a job for Mr. Macklemore. Macklemore and Pitbull feet Kirby over the end credits.
You know, I will just say that what I realized that we did is that we started this episode by summarizing the story of Kirby. We spent an hour, I don't know, doing what, and then our movie is the story of Kirby.
But with some arcs thrown in.
Yeah, yeah, we've, you know.
Question. Who is the voice of Kirby?
There is no voice of Kirby. Kirby doesn't speak.
Well,
right?
Maybe they make noise.
They make noise.
Actually, Birch. That's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Green light, whatever. Put it through.
King Dedede is Willem Dafoe.
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Good pick.
There we go.
All right. Thank you, Ashley, so much.
Thanks for having me,
for,
y'all.
For having this on.
Sorry for the amount of times we said he instead of they.
Yeah,
everyone.
Sorry, everybody.
We tried.
We're trying. I'm less sorry because I did a better job than you. But yeah, you know, it was an interesting challenge. It's definitely like I'm glad we took it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had some real quick apologies for the sound quality last week. We did have we have some stuff from that, did we not?
We do indeed. So we got a couple of fantastic posters for ET2,
which we did not deserve.
The extraterrestrial at Ryan Brown or at R. Alistair Brown, downtown Ryan Brown, once again with another fantastic poster for ET2, Elliot, the same but different. He did like a really fun thing with it where it's like, because our episode didn't quite work, he did like the first draft of the poster and like Drew Barrymore's name is hastily scratched out of it because we decided not to put her in it and like all that stuff. So great job as always, Ryan. Also got some posters from Jonathan Shorter at JS Storybreak from his exclusive fan art posting account. So Jonathan did some really cool posters as well. ET2, The Night Terrors. He did a really cool thing where like it's the poster and then ET's holding up two glowing fingers. And I was like, that's fucking slick. Like, that's a cool thing.
Oh, that's really good. That would be the poster.
That would have been the poster.
That would be
yeah.
the poster. Would be yeah. ET holding up two glowing fingers. And that's all they would do. Yeah, that's absolutely. Wow. What a marketing genius.
If we did our cool stoner comedy between those two fingers, would be a big old joint.
Which is a
big old boy. Much better movie.
So thank you guys so much. And thanks as always to everyone who's been leaving us reviews on iTunes. That really helps us out.
And hit us up at RJ Storybreak, by the way, if you ever want to send the poster.
Ashley, you got anything you want to plug?
My thing? The thing that I do? I'm on a show on Cartoon Network called OKKO Let's Be Heroes. It's pretty funny. I play Enid. You should watch it.
Where can we find you on Twitter?
Ashley_Birch. Neither of those in the way that you would think to spell them.
Ashley, no E, Birch with a U.
Yes, yeah. And if you guys play Fortnite and you play the single player campaign, then I'm constantly talking in your ears.
That's where I heard you recently.
You're the single player of Fortnite?
I'm Ray.
Real quick, what's it like? Is that the equivalent in voice acting of being a tree that falls in the forest and nobody hears because nobody plays single player on Fortnite? I don't mean to throw shade. It's just that I don't even know. I did not even know until this moment that Fortnite even had a single player. What?
Like a co-op. But with, like, no non-multiplayer. You know what I mean? Like a campaign.
There's a campaign.
I think so.
Yeah, there's this.
Didn't start as a battle royale game, Freddie. It started as like it was a first person shooter, and then they
with friends, building.
Yeah, and then they added the battle royale map.
And now it's the most popular game in America. Yep. But
and real quick, everyone, that's called pivoting.
So that's our Fortnite podcast, everybody.
All right, we do a sign off where we go around and we say one word in the sign off
because we're too lazy to come up with a real sign off. So this has become our sign off.
So thanks everybody for listening to Storybreak, and we.
Folks,
welcome to another Max Fun Fun Drive.
Ones.
The Max Fun Two. Drive, it's actually called
your
Pledge Break.
Doors.
I'm Will Campos. I'm in charge of the second Pledge Break, and I'm here to talk to you a little bit, first and foremost, about those warm and fuzzy feelings you're going to get by donating to the Maximum Fun Network. This is a chance to become a
part of something greater than yourself. You may know me from my True TV show.
A chance to contribute to a mighty network of incredible shows about pop culture and comedy. From Judge John Hodgman to The Adventure Zone to Jordan Jesse Go, which I already mentioned in the last one, to, of course, Story Break from these three fine story boys who fill your ears.
I feel like we're like the new plucky, like, go-getter members.
We're the Jubilee of the X-Men, if that reference doesn't date us. So you guys, I mean, we all know, like, we've all read The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama. We all know what happens when you give out of the goodness of your heart. Like, it has a net effect on your overall well-being. But let's also talk about the goods you guys get. Let's talk about that sweet, sweet swag that you are going to get for becoming a monthly member of Maximum Fun. So at the $5 level, I'll start us off by talking about this sweet, awesome, exclusive bonus content you get. That's just at the $5 level. You're going to get access to hours upon hours of amazing bonus episodes.
That's for bonus episodes from every show on the network.
Every show on the network ever of all time.
It's like 700,000 hours of material.
4 million hours of podcasting goodness.
No, categorically untrue. But quite a bit.
But and then you're also going to be getting a very, very exciting contribution to that mighty catalog of bonus content, which is our very first bonus episode, which, if you are a Video Game High School fan, this is a must click. This is a must buy. Is we break Video Game High School Season 4 in our bonus episode.
And I'm going to be honest. We were very wary. We had about a week's worth of discussion of, like, do we even attempt this? Do we, you know, because we felt very much like, you know what, Season 3 is where we wanted to end it. But we're like, you know what, let's just throw it out there.
Can I be even more honest, Freddie?
Oh, okay, sure.
We crushed that. I mean, I'm saying there's a lot of good content, but that right there worth $5.
And what's cool, by the way, one of the things I think is really interesting, if you're a fan of Story Break, which of course you are, that's an episode where that's us dealing with our own material. So you get to hear a little bit of a difference between, you know, us, which this is our DNA, and how we treat sort of, and the way we talk about the characters that we've been working with and talking about for years up until this point. It's actually kind of a cool perspective from, like, a filmmaking.
It's a little
standpoint.
More insidery, which I think is a good listen. But enough about us. Yeah. Freddie, why don't you tell us about this stunning pin I am staring at that you get at the $10 per month level.
$10 level, you get one of 38 custom-designed pins by Megan Lincott for our show. And I have to be honest here. When I saw the pin, one, jaw dropped. Two, I was like, shoot, we have to redesign the logo for our show because this isn't actually a good logo. It's a very cool, like, hourglass and story.
It's a really dope pin. It's gonna look really good on whatever bag you put your pins on.
I'm gonna email Jesse and be like, hey, can we just redesign all of our show art?
Can we just steal this?
Yeah. But yeah, you get a pin. You also get a membership card at the time. You also get the bonus episodes at the. This is like Kickstarter, right? Every pledge tier gets you everything from all the lower tiers as well.
We're dealing with a real 12 Days of Christmas stacking reward system. You get the partridge in the pear tree. You get the 5 golden rings. You get the 2 turtle doves.
Matt, what do we get at the $20.
$20 is a very, very special level because here's what you get. I mean, you get the Max Fun Family Cookbook, which has a lot of recipes. But let's be honest, you really get Matt Arnold's. After 2 years of messing around with mixology, well, I made one recipe. I made one cocktail. And I've been saving. I've been waiting for the right time to send it out to the world to kind of make my stamp, to kind of, like, you know, put
as
my name out there as a mixologist. Yeah. And you get it in this cookbook, the Hibby Fizzy. If you like gin, hibiscus, and just, you know, other stuff that gets you drunk, you will enjoy...
Like hibiscus?
You like hibiscus? You will enjoy this cocktail.
Flower?
Now, to be honest, I haven't heard what the other recipes are, but I'm sure they're at least half as good as my cocktail, so that is going to be an incredible level. It looks like a lot of fun. You also get some sweet cookie cutters.
We did petition to
you
have
get
this
the whole cookbook, you get but you're only going to need the edge.
We did petition to have it named the Matt Arnold Hibby Fizzy and Other Assorted Recipes book, but Jesse's told me
next year, next year.
Yeah.
You're also going to get some really cool, handsome, space-themed cookie cutters that are in the
cookies. Cookies not included. You got to figure that
cookies
out.
Cookies not included.
There's
probably
some cookie recipes, by the way.
You know,
I don't know if I can promise that. I haven't seen the book yet.
You know what goes good with a really nice, delicious, sweet, crispy cookie? A nice Hibby Fizzy made by Matt Arnold. Get the ingredients, mix it yourself.
When you want to make a whole mess of Hibby Fizzies, you're gonna wanna put them in something. And what are you gonna put them in, Matt?
I don't do this. I can't pronounce the word. How do you pronounce this word?
It's at the 35.
C-A-R-A-F-E.
Don't tell him. Take a shot.
Give it a shot.
Carafe.
not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I nailed it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and for those of you like me who don't know what a carafe is without looking at a picture, it is a big pitcher. And if you don't want, and if you want, you don't want to share that hippie fizzy with your friends. So what you do is you just make a whole buttload of it, put in a pitcher, share it, eat your cookies. It's fantastic. Listen to your favorite podcast. I mean, it's like they designed this for maximum fun.
$200 a month gets you free registration to MaxFunCon 2019. $100 a month gets you a membership in the Inner Circle, a monthly culture club where you're going to get a cool hand-selected album or movie or book picked by one of the Maximum Fun shows, along with a letter kind of explaining its tasting notes and, you know, etc. At the $50 a month level, you're going to be getting a dope-ass metal-engraved Max Fun membership card to set off all of those metal detectors at the airport.
It is actually a guaranteed metal detector setting off device. It allows you to get searched anywhere there's a metal detector.
It's also the only card you can pull out if somebody pulls out that, you know, that infamous black platinum card or whatever it is.
Oh, like a black card.
You're at a bar, some big hotshot pulls out his card. You just pull out your Max Fun. Yeah. Max Fun.
Well, you know what
card.
Also happens is
you're the hotshot at that bar now.
You get pulled over because you've been driving while podcasting, and the cop is like, "Do you know how much podcasting you were doing while driving?" And then you go, "Oh, let me find my ID, officer," and your Max Fun card happens to fall out, and he's a fellow story break enthusiast, and he gives you a pass on that ticket.
Gives you a high five, and you got yourself a new cop best friend. Anyway, head on over to MaximumFun.org/donate. Again, 25,000 new and upgrading members. The time to do it is now. Help us out. Support the show. Support the network. Let's get back to breaking this story.
Hey, y'all. It's Will O'Malley back in the action with Global Story Guts, the fast-paced show where teens from all around the world have one epic shot to pitch a story break idea for a pitch for a Guts movie. We're about to get to the climax of our action. Our competitor, Freddy, is ready to just go for it. So we're going to go down to Matt with the leaderboards. Matt!
Hi, Will. This is Matt. This is Matt. Thank you so much. I'm down here on the floor level. Excuse me, I've been a little sick, so my British accent might sound a little bit off. Bam! But I assure you, that's just my cold. Now, the rules here are rather simple. Freddy has 30 seconds to climb up the story crag and pitch a perfect version, a perfect logline of the wonderful story we have just spent the last hour breaking. And if he makes it to the top within 30 minutes and he...
Seconds. Six,
30 seconds and successfully pitches, he will get a piece of the story crag. Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
3, 2, 1.
All right, so this story is about a kid, teenage kid named... shit, Hans.
Oh, Freddy's stumbling early on his ascent up the story crack. Let's see if he can recover.
It's about a kid in middle school. He's the hottest kid, raddest kid in school. Everyone loves him. But he gets on the Nickelodeon show Guts in the 90s. He wins it, but at the cost of cheating and kicking down another competitor. But he...
Oh, watch out, story! He's struggling with the story, miss!
I just gotta get through it. And so in the end, he comes home, he wins it, he gets the crag, he goes home, gets transported to an alien planet with the aggro crag.
Boom!
And
Freddy has activated the first act break, act light, on the crag. Let's see what he can give us in act two.
He realizes that Guts is actually a universal game show which gets teens from all around the galaxy to compete, so he learns the true meaning of having guts by reaching the end. But he betrays his friends, but in doing so, realizes that he's changed into something horrible.
Freddy's slipping and stumbling through the third act. Let's see if he can reroute himself by explaining maybe who some of the other characters are in the movie.
He betrays his friends who embody all the other meanings of what courage and guts should be. He has, in the end, he betrays them, and then he realizes that he's turned into sort of his shadow self. So when he wakes up from this dream, or was it, he gets to school and he shatters the crag that he wants in front of everybody and admits that he cheated in order to win it, and thereby learns his lesson.
Photo finish. Let me double check. Let me look at the time. What we got on the clock here?
That's a
minute. Wow, it is exactly 30 seconds. Holy crap. You did that in exactly 30 seconds, Freddy. That was pretty impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm pretty winded, and also I don't know exactly what, I kind of blanked out there, don't remember what happened through most of all of that.
I think most of us don't know what you were talking about, but that's okay. It's all about the fun.
Do I win the aggro crag?
Voice of the Mountain, what do you say?
I, Olmec, the voice of Storybreak, have decided that Freddy's pitch was okay. I will give you an okay piece of the story crag, along with the Storybreak at-home game, two Schwinn bicycles, and a vacation to Orlando, Florida.
Freddy, who are you going to bring on your vacation, and who are you going to give that extra bike to?
Not my Storybreak. Wait, all of my friends.
Oh.
Okay, well, that was our excruciating bit, and now the podcast is over.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Storybreak. You can find us at RJ Storybreak on Twitter. Again, if you want to get your name submitted to get used in an episode, hit us up at RJ Storybreak. And if you want to submit some dope fan art like so many before you have, same place. Will, what do we have fan art-wise this week?
Yeah, we got a lot of awesome fan art for our Stretch Armstrong episode from some of the usual suspects and a few new faces. So thanks to Elbino Penguin for another over-the-top, outrageously crazy Stretch Armstrong poster featuring Vin Diesel as Vac Attack, the evil red crunchy Stretch Armstrong, who I cannot believe we did not remember for the pitch. Ryan Brown at our Alistair Brown gave us a really fun Dwayne Johnson is Stretch Armstrong poster. I did not realize how terrifying human arms look when they're super stretched out until I saw this poster, but a great job as always. We got another poster from Mitchell Burton at Thanks Mitchell on Twitter. He did kind of one of those like a riff on the wrestler poster, which is extremely good. How far can a hero stretch before he breaks? And some really awesome fan art from Abby Brusnell at @A_Brusnell Z-E-L-L on Twitter. Really just a really awesome cartoon drawing of Dwayne the Rock Johnson as Stretch Armstrong. So thank you guys
we
as well.
We also got one from Wesley Regan, who has this, it's got a great tagline. It's stretching him to his limits. What I really love, thank you, Wesley, because you added the Rock to make sure that The Rock indeed saw that he's in this movie. So I'm hoping The Rock
no,
saw it.
I
very much appreciate that. I thought that was a blast. The sole fact that there's a tiny chance that The Rock saw this is like, why is somebody making me Stretch Armstrong amuses me too.
I have heard that The Rock does check out each and every time he's mentioned on Twitter. So
oh, absolutely.
Thank you for that.
A little bit vain like that, to
Mitchell,
be fair.
Yeah. Mitchell Burton also sent us a really good Kirby poster that's just a riff on the Mother poster with Kirby. It's very, very good. So that's all those are up on our Twitter feed, so you can check them out. So thanks again to all of our amazing fans. Mad thanks as well to our ace editor, Cameron Koval, who makes our shit sound good.
Oh, and also check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/rocketjump. We're going to be putting out a very, very hilarious animation that our friend Nick Canton did. He's done some of the Mabim Bam, little flash animation type of stuff for Duke Nukem. So we're going to put that up on the YouTube channel this week as well.
Definitely let us know if you like it, because we very much are thinking about doing more of those, and I would like to do more of those, but Freddie won't do more of them unless people like it. So please like it.
So please like it.
And don't forget, folks, it is Max Fun Drive. If you want to support this show or any of the other shows on the Max Fun Network and get some cool swag, including at the $5 level, our breaking of Video Game High School Season 4, make sure you head on over to MaximumFun.org/donate and support this show. So
in all seriousness, we love doing this podcast. We love breaking stories, and we love hearing how you all like or don't like some of those stories that we do or do not break. So we appreciate all support.
Yes, and they all kinds. New and upgrade members trying to hit 25,000 this year. Help us reach our goal. So until next week, y'all
need
guts.
There!